Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, March 16th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The High Court orders the state to allow Mbada Diamonds to deploy security guards at its mining concessions following government's move to shut down diamond mining operations in Manicaland province.
Security personnel are entitled to remain on the ground just to make sure that nothing of their stuff is removed. But we are basically saying that they were not despoiled. We gave them 90 days in terms of the act to remove their equipment.
The World Food Programme says it needs $220 million to provide assistance to millions of Zimbabweans until next year.
We're not yet at the harvest period in April or May, and the people's food stocks are becoming depleted. There are many vulnerable people, as we know, already in the countryside areas.
The High Court has ruled that Mbada Diamonds, which is among several firms that were ordered by the state to stop operations in Manicaland province, can only deploy security guards at its mining compounds but can't resume diamond mining activities due to lack of proper licenses to mine the gems. The government recently shut down mining activities in Marange Diamond Fields and others, claiming that the companies had no licenses and refused to be part of a national diamond mining entity designed to take over all operations in the region. Our correspondent Thomas Shiripasi reports.
Harare High Court Judge Joseph Mafusire today ruled that Mbada Diamonds was wrongfully dispossessed of its property when police details were deployed to guard the Marange Diamond Fields following the government's directive for all the diamond mining companies to stop all mining activities in Manicaland province. This ruling was confirmed by Advocate Louis Uriri, one of the lawyers representing the police in this matter.
The learned judge handed down his judgment this morning, where he finds that, in fact, Mbada was wrongfully dispossessed of the property in question. He orders restoration subject to the fact that Mbada will not be able to mine or to conduct any operations on the mine, in view of the fact that the licenses had expired. That means that technically they were wrongfully removed, which position we don't agree with and which position we are in fact appealing. It also means that they cannot mine, they cannot undertake any operations on the ground until, according to the judge, when the question of the validity of their mining licenses is determined.
Uriri, however, said the state was going to appeal against the court's decision, arguing that authorities followed provisions of the law when they removed the diamond companies from their concessions.
Security personnel are entitled to remain on the ground just to make sure that nothing of their stuff is removed. But we are basically saying that they were not despoiled. We gave them 90 days in terms of the act to remove their equipment, and we look forward to them removing their equipment. And to the extent that we don't agree with that finding, specific finding, we will appeal it to the Supreme Court.
The judge, however, found that Mbada Diamonds could not resume mining operations since the company had not renewed its operating license. Executives of Mbada Diamonds were not available for comment. Mines Minister Walter Chidakwa last month ordered the closure of all companies that were mining diamonds in Chiatswa on the basis that they had not renewed their operating licenses. The companies were also allegedly refusing to merge to form one entity that was being proposed by government. Chidakwa said the merger was meant to curb leakages in the diamond sector after fiscal authorities complained that the companies were not declaring all their returns from diamond sales. Following the move to kick out all diamond companies from Chiatswa, President Robert Mugabe stunned the nation when he claimed that government lost more than $15 billion in potential revenue in Chiatswa. To date, no one has been arrested in connection with the missing funds. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Meanwhile, in a related story, the alleged looting of $15 billion in potential diamond revenue is unsettling opposition parties in Zimbabwe that are now urging President Robert Mugabe to step down for failing to curb corruption in the mining of the country's diamonds. Reporter Blessing Zulu has more.
Former Mines Minister Obed Mpofu has vowed that he will never comment on President Robert Mugabe's remarks that $15 billion in diamonds revenue vanished in Chiadzwa. In brief remarks to Studio 7, Mpofu said, quote, "Look, I will never comment on the issue of diamonds. I am no longer the minister responsible. You must interview the Minister of Mines. I will never comment on that issue." Close quote. Mpofu is now the Microeconomic Planning and Investment Promotion Minister. But Mpofu was in charge when the money allegedly disappeared. In 2012, a report released by Partnership Africa Canada said Zimbabwe's Marange fields had seen, quote, "the biggest plunder of diamonds since Cecil Rhodes." Rhodes was the colonial magnate who exploited South Africa's diamonds more than a century ago. The Canadian non-profit organization is a member of the Kimberley Process, the international organization set up to stop the trade in so-called blood diamonds or diamonds mined to finance conflict. It alleged that at least $2 billion worth of diamonds had been stolen from the country's diamond fields and ended up in the pockets of President Mugabe's ruling elite. But Mpofu at the time rubbished the report, calling it nonsensical and a work of detractors. Responding to questions from parliamentarians today, Mines Minister Walter Chidakwa said his ministry will investigate the alleged looting of the $15 billion. At that time, a lone protester was also demonstrating outside parliament with a placard and a t-shirt written, "Where is our money?" Opposition parties are calling on President Robert Mugabe to step down, saying the alleged pillaging of the funds was done under his watch. In a press statement, the opposition People's Democratic Party recommended that, quote, "President Mugabe resigns with immediate effect as he has failed the nation as its chief executive." Close quote. The party added that a commission of inquiry must be set up by parliament to investigate the alleged looting which occurred in Chiadzwa, and prosecution of those responsible must follow. MDCT spokesperson Obed Gutu said the office of the auditor general must be mandated to investigate the case. Gutu said all the money that was looted must be returned to the country. Kurawo Nichiwai, spokesman of the Washman Ngube-led MDC, also urged Mr. Mugabe to resign for failing to deal with corruption. Reporting for Studio 7 in Washington, D.C., this is Blessing Zulu.
The World Food Program says it needs $220 million to provide assistance to an estimated 2.2 million people until 2017. Labor and Social Services Minister Priska Mufumira says that the number of people in need of food assistance has risen to more than 4 million. But the WFP says that 3 million is still the official figure. In a press statement, the WFP said vulnerable people in Zimbabwe will continue to receive relief assistance from the United Nations World Food Program, though what is usually a period of bounty, but which this year has turned out into a time of want. The WFP noted that it's extending its relief program due to the punishing impact of El Nino on the food security of the country. WFP is this month providing food and cash-based assistance to some 730,000 vulnerable people. WFP Communications Officer for Southern Africa, David Orr, tells the Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that urgent food is needed in the country.
The latest figures we have are that nearly 3 million people are food insecure. That's about a quarter of the rural population in Zimbabwe. And we do expect this figure to increase into later this year and into next year. We're not yet at the harvest period in April or May, and the people's food stocks are becoming depleted. There are many vulnerable people, as we know, already in the countryside areas. And as I say, this figure will probably rise over coming months.
The government is now putting the figure at around 4 million. Is this a fair assessment?
Well, I did hear reports that a minister in the government had used the figure of 4 million in a statement yesterday. My understanding is this is her projection of what the numbers that of food insecure people that there could be later in the year. And of course, this is indeed possible, but we are still going by the official figures that the government released recently, and that's nearly 3 million.
And let's talk about the funding. Are you happy with the levels of assistance that you are getting from your traditional donors?
I would say, of course, we're very grateful for the assistance we have got so far. This is not just a crisis in Zimbabwe, but across the region, we have very high levels of food insecurity. This region, nearly 30 million, including South Africa, as a result of last year's bad harvest and now the impact of the El Nino weather event, which has brought more and continued drought to the region.
That was WFP Communications Officer for Southern Africa, David Orr, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Johannesburg, South Africa. As reported yesterday, UNICEF said Zimbabwe faces its worst malnutrition crisis in 15 years, with tens of thousands of children requiring urgent treatment. VOA Studio 7's Ndimiake Mwakalele has more.
Poor rains induced by the El Nino weather phenomenon have hampered food production, and diminishing reserves have left many people in rural parts of Zimbabwe short of essential supplies. In an interview with AFP, UNICEF representative in Zimbabwe, Jane Muita, says an estimated 50,000 children are in need of food assistance, with 33,000 needing treatment for acute malnutrition. Muita says such level of malnutrition has not been seen in Zimbabwe for many years.
More than 15 years, this is the first time that we are seeing like this kind of thing, especially the condition of malnutrition that we are seeing in children. It has not been seen before in this country.
Muita says their research has mostly been confined to the rural areas in all 10 provinces, but indications are there is need for research in urban areas as well.
We don't have any assessment that was done in urban areas, and in fact, at the moment, we are thinking that it is important to also look at the urban areas.
To help alleviate the situation, UNICEF is requesting $21 million in aid. This comes in the wake of other requests from donors, including the WFP, or World Food Programme, to alleviate hunger. Muita says severe acute malnutrition is dangerous for children.
Malnutrition is a very dangerous condition for children to have, specifically in the age before they reach the age of 2. We are talking about under 5 malnutrition, and at this moment, we are talking about acute malnutrition, which we can deal with, and by feeding children, by making sure that they are not suffering from diarrhea.
One of the long-term effects of malnutrition, explains Muita, is stunting, which she says affects 28% of Zimbabwe's children.
Stunting is a condition that is chronic form of malnutrition, but has the biggest impact before the age of 2. If we don't intervene before the age of 2, they live with that problem. So they are stunted, but not only are they stunted, but there are other impacts of malnutrition that are lifelong, including intelligence, their performance in school is affected, and they are also prone to death from other illnesses.
In acknowledgement of the severe food shortage in the country, the government recently declared a state of disaster and has appealed for food aid. An estimated 4 million people need food assistance. Reporting for Studio 7 from Washington, this is Ndimiake Mwakalele.